everybody out there in Internet Radio Land. This is Terry Brown on the Winfrey Monday Night Conference Call Internet Radio Show. He is collecting the people on the conference call because we're a simulcast, so we have people on the conference call and people listening to BBS Radio. Oftentimes, people call in from all over the world, and then they can ask questions or talk. And oftentimes we do a channeling on Monday night. This is Terry Brown. I never know what the subject's going to be or if I'm going to be asked to channel or what the channeling questions are going to be, which I like that way because if I knew in advance, I would probably agonize over it. So it's much better this way. So right now, Wynn's rounding up all the people on the conference call line, and he should be with us in just a minute. Wynn, are you with us yet? No, he's not back yet. Hello, Wynn? All right. So sometimes on this conference call and internet radio show, Wynn takes questions from the BBS audience. However, he asks for them first. So if an individual has a question, you might want to write it down, and then if he does ask for it at any point, you can call in and ask your question live on the ear. We are in the process of setting up transcripts of the Monday night calls and putting them on the archives on the website. You can sign up for messages from www.messageaday.net. There are also a couple of other websites that we have that has information on it. We are lucky enough to have Connie transcribing the Monday night calls, and so most of them for the year have been transcribed. Carla Ruckert appears once a month and is a guest on the show, and she also transcribes the Monday night calls that she's on, and these can be found at Research. They're available on her website.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
Vin is calling this call, but welcome to the call. Please say your name and city.
Well, you know what? I muted everybody, Harry.
Okay, no problem.
Terry, are you there?
Yes.
Are you doing a good job?
I've been giving the introduction here. So, ladies and gentlemen, here is Winfrey.
And Terry is good.
Entry and exit chimes are off.
I'm glad Wynn is here. And thank you, Terry, for doing the intro. You know, we do this call as a simulcast between a conference call and the BBS line. And, you know, the conference call, the reason the conference call is there is because the people that are on the conference line that are identifying themselves and saying hello are actually helping anchor the energies. And I'm sure that those people that have been listening to the call for the last year and a half have noticed how the consciousness of the calls have changed as how we hit the ground running. Now, the people that are listening on BBS are also anchoring the energy.
Ben, sorry, you're on the recording, please.
Oh, yes, thank you. Okay, hang on.
Please enter your PIN followed by pound. Please wait. This conference is now being recorded.
This is our Monday night conference call. This is Winfrey. We were just talking about today is November 28th, and Winfrey and my co-host, Terry Brown, and associate and and I can't find the right expletive to describe you, Terry.
That's all right. I am what I am. People can make up their own minds.
Most definitely an interdimensional being who was... There's a lot of people like this out there. They carry really high promise or high... What's the word? High potential to make huge contributions. Many of you who are listening now may fit into the category where you know you have something to offer. And somehow or another, Terry ended up finding she had this unusual talent that she didn't know she had in the interaction with me, which was she was able to bring through messages from sources seemingly outside this dimension. And, she did do it once before, apparently. She was at a channeling class, I think in the 1998 or something, and she got up in front of the room and something happened. Now, you know, one of the things I was thanking all the people that were actually checking into the conference line in particular, as well as the people that are listening on BBS. But the people on the conference line, there's a more grounded energy because we're connected by wires instead of by radio waves or internet waves. And, you know, one of the reasons Terry started channeling around me, and this is not an unusual occurrence. Carla Rucker has two people around her when she channels. And when we have a number of people coming in on the conference line regularly, and where they start to feel the energy and they feel like this is a home base for them energetically, they start holding the space, and that the space that's being held becomes like a bridge that actually enables Terry to bring through information. Without a bridge, the stuff is just out there. And, I mean, imagine if Terry went into the supermarket. She just came from the supermarket and went up to the cashier and suddenly said, "Hi, I've got a message for..." Now, it's a donut, people probably do that. But, you know, "Hi, I have a message from you from another dimension." And, you know, they, if she was lucky, they'd just smile. And if she wasn't lucky, they'd call the men in the white coats and have her taken away. So in order to bring information and messages and energy from other dimensions, it has to be grounded into this realm. And it becomes grounded into this realm through people. We are the grounds. And it can't just be any people. It can't be somebody that's sitting there in doubt and skepticism. I mean, that's okay if you are, but you're not going to be a good ground. You have to become familiar enough with the whole procedure so that you feel comfortable with it. Because if you're not comfortable, your energy is going to be incongruent and you won't be able to ground it. So the people on the conference call that come in regularly, we have to thank them because they're helping to hold the grounded energy so this can come through. And, of course, they can also thank us because by the nature of doing this, by being on the call and holding the energy, they are also learning the frequencies of these higher sources. They're also doing a great service, and it's an opportunity to do a service. So it's a mutual gratitude society. But I'm mentioning it and I'm acknowledging it because even though you're silently in the background, you're very important to this work. And the only reason we're doing this is because people kept showing up on the conference calls. And if no one did, this would have died a long time ago, because I don't have any need to be on radio and talk. I do have a need to be of service, and I do have a need to be authentic, and that when I know what we're doing is connecting with people, then I'm encouraged to keep doing it. And, you know, I had sent out a thing on Thanksgiving, and actually, it's not easy for me to say those things, but I did it anyway. And those of you that are on Message a Day, so all my thank yous to all of you, because all of you who are reading messages, all of you who are listening to the replays are part of grounding something. And obviously what we're doing is out there. It does not fit in consensus reality. There are no places to plug it in. So you have to create a socket. You have to create it, if there is such a thing. And so the people that pay attention become part of anchoring the energy, not just during this call, but anchoring a new paradigm into the collective. Because what we do is not in the collective. It's nowhere to be found. It does not fit in easily to even channeling and New Age, and certainly not religious. So we have to create our own way to fit in. And the people that keep coming back and the people that keep listening, even though I don't know who you are, I do know you're doing this, and I do know that your presence on the line is enabling a shift to occur in the collective. And it's also creating the possibility that we can reach a whole lot more people, because the more anchored and grounded it is, the more stable it becomes, the less people are attracted to it. So we're kind of pioneers, and you guys are pioneers, and I just want to give you kudos for doing it, okay? And on that note, Terry, without channeling, you have anything to say on this topic? Does that make sense to you?
Yes, it makes very great sense to me. Everybody that comes on the line or listens at a later time or reads a transcript is a very important part of it. If they connect with the energy, or just when they're directing their attention towards it, it's like putting their shoulder behind the plow, and they can help hold the energy to make positive changes for the earth.
Exactly. And, you know, I didn't know this when we started doing it. It's been a learning process. And as I said in my thank you letter on Message a Day, all of you are part of that process. You are teaching me, teaching us. We're teaching each other how to do this. And so this is a group occurrence. Now, I had a very interesting topic today. And, you know, when I pick these topics, Terry never knows what I'm coming up with until she's on the call. And that's another thing. It took me quite a long time to develop the confidence that we could do this, and that I wouldn't ask Terry a question and she wouldn't go, duh, you know. You know, Terry is pretty shy. And also, there's a great responsibility in bringing information forth like this live. There's no, you can't retrieve anything. You can't take it back. And if you make a really bad mistake, it's out there. So it's really been Terry's dedication to make this possible to do this in this kind of way. And it has made me trust that in general, I don't think there's anything negative that comes through. Now, maybe there's some bleed through. One time, sometime privately, I'm going to have a long conversation with him about Dr. Marshall and see. But as I understand the way it works, as I watch it, there's not a them and an us. There's only an us. So when you have a group energy, Terry's energy, and this is not true with all channeling, by the way, but this seems to be the way it works with the way it occurs for me, that when you have a person who's channeling with a group soul, there's not a group soul in them. They kind of temporarily become part of the group soul, and everything gets filtered through them. So that's why if you listen to Daphne and you listen to Terry, you'll hear quite a big difference in the way it sounds. And because it goes through, the hologram of that person becomes one with the group's soul. Now, would you say that's true, Terry? Is that accurate from your experience? Is that a good way of saying it?
Yes. It's filtered through the like the vocabulary of the person. And I know that there's such a thing as trance channeling, where you just go under and then you don't know what's being said. I think I've gone into that state a couple times. But even so, like one time when we were speaking a different language for a little bit, I was aware of that we were greeting people. That was when we greeted Batol in Turkey.
Right. Now, Edgar Cayce could be called a trans channel because he never remembered what he said. And in that case, I don't think his consciousness was part of the group. The group was using his consciousness. And so I think when that occurs, you might get deeper information, because when you're part of the group, then it's harder to, like, probably Daphne gets into more of a trance sometimes. Because when you get this really specific information, the conscious mind of the channel would have a harder time assimilating it and saying it. So you have to, like, almost let go and not participate as part of the group, but you're separate and they're using you. So Edgar Cayce did that. Carla Ruckert did that when she did The Law of One. And I don't think she does it when she does Keo. I think I'm saying that right.
No, she doesn't.
No. But with the Rod Group and the Law of One, she was totally unconscious and they were speaking through her, which generally seems to indicate a deeper level of information. I would imagine, say, for example, if you were in a trance channel and you were going to make a recommendation, instead of saying Dr. Marshall, you might, like Edgar Cayce was so specific in the stuff he could come up with, they might look at every different alternative practitioner that they could tune into and say, I think you should go to so-and-so, you know? Edgar Cayce had that kind of precision. And, of course, occasionally we've gotten that kind of precision to both Daphne and Terry. Like, for example, when I said, was Terry ever anybody famous? And out of the blue, they said St. Catherine of Siena, who I never heard of. And, you know, that looked like, of course, you know the story, that looked like Terry, and she was a channel in a Catholic church that actually was, I believe, perhaps the only channel ever officially recognized in the Catholic Church. And still for sale on Amazon. So I have a very interesting topic, and one of the reasons I'm willing to talk about this topic is because so many of you are holding and have learned to hold a higher energy, because this is a topic that could be scary. And, you know, I wouldn't want to just go out into the public and say, hey, here's something I want to talk about, because, first of all, it's hard to prove. Although, in certain ways, there's been proof. Second of all, it explains certain things that are very hard to explain otherwise. And many of you, and the good part of this is that many of you who have been listening to our calls, coming to our conference lines, have actually come closer, more face to face with your own issues. And you've looked at your issues more carefully. And many of you have said, why do I still have this issue? I've been coming in on the conference lines for a year. And why are certain issues so difficult to get over? And over the course of the last few years, this is not a new topic to me. It's not a new topic, but it's one that is probably new for most of you. And the topic is implants. And an implant would mean anything that is not you that is affecting your system. And I have learned there's two kinds of implants. One kind of implant is in your energy field. And the other kind of implant is actually in your body. And I know this is true. I know that this is something that I don't usually talk about, but I do know that there's such a thing as abductions. And I have some idea why they take place, and I have some idea what happens when you get abducted. And a lot of this is not from channeling, but it's from cross-referencing lots of information on the internet and having personally known some people who believe they've been abducted, and knowing them well enough to be fairly sure that it happened for them. And so this is a big topic. Why do people get abducted? What happens when you get abducted? What are implants? And if you have an implant, how do you get rid of them? Now, I'm going to tell you a story of someone who I'm going to leave anonymous, who had a reading from Terry a few months ago. And I hope it's okay to tell this story. I'm not going to say who it is, and I'm telling it because it's something that I think will help other people, and I think they wouldn't object to sharing it, as long as they're anonymous. And it was a person who was dealing with an issue for many years of his life where he was, to say not fitting in would be an understatement, where he was living almost anonymously under the radar. And he had a tremendous amount of fear running through his system. And I'm not sure he knew what he was afraid of, but he was afraid. Now, you know, having fear in your system, it doesn't seem to be, how can I say it? no reason to be. Nothing externally is happening, and yet it's there. And particularly if you have money and you're not starving. Obviously, when any of our lives get threatened in some way and things get tough, fear is a natural response. But in this person's case, there was nothing obvious to be afraid of. And they had a reading through Terry. And in the reading, it was brought up that this person had an implant in their nose and that their energy was being drained through this implant. And the implant was placed there to keep track of them and to tap into their energy. Now, when we say keep track, then you're going to say, who is keeping track? How does this work? Well, perhaps I'll go into that a little bit. This is a whole new sphere of information that I've never brought up in these calls. And so I'll go a little bit at a time and see where we get with it. So then I asked our source, I said, can you disable this implant? They looked at it, they said it had actually melded with the DNA. And that it was not easy, but they kept looking at it. And then they said, well, we could shift the frequency. And then they said they shifted the frequency. And this was a fairly interesting challenge because we had never come up with anyone who came for a reading that was told they had an implant. Now, of course, for some people, if they were told they had an implant, it would scare them, which would mean you would start having a negative effect even on working on it. So I would say even if they knew that someone had an implant, it would be a hard thing to bring up in a reading. But for some reason, this person had done a lot of study of these things, and it didn't freak them out, and so they said it. And so the reading was over, and of course this was done on the phone, and then the person had a second reading, and I think over a period of about 2 months, their whole pattern shifted. They stopped, to a great extent, being afraid. They stopped running, so to speak. And it seems to have created a permanent shift. So this was one experience of a few where I learned to tap into this awareness. So there's different kinds of implants. There's implants in your energy field. They're not a physicalized implant. They're not in your body. They're not physical, but there's something in your matrix. And it's something that is there not as part of your creation. Some external intelligence put it into your matrix. And then there's things in your body. Now, if any of you have gone back to the creation of man, now we're talking about a lot of things that are not validatable. So you have to go along with it and say, well, what if? Supposedly, 4 million years ago, there was a group of space travelers, which are known as the Anunnaki, and had come to Earth to mine gold. And they decided that they really didn't like the hard labor of mining gold, and that they were going to create a creature that could work for them, who could do the mining. And so they actually genetically engineered. These guys were very sharp, and they were able to genetically engineer a human. And that they had engineered these first humans to only have two strands of DNA open, because the idea is that people that have more strands of DNA open, or more chakras open, another way of saying it, than someone else, can usually have a certain degree of power over the people who have a lesser degree of chakra opening or DNA opening. And if we take an example of that, we can look at that. That works both in the positive and the negative. We could look at Martin Luther King, who was able to demonstrate in the kind of terminology that I'm using now, a great deal of expansive energy, and was able to reach and touch and lead many people who were not as expanded as he was. He was able to inspire them. Nelson Mandela, even John F. Kennedy as a president, Gandhi. And then in the negative, we probably have somebody like a Hitler who could also take a lot of control over a lot of people, and that his DNA would have been at some notch higher than the people he was controlling. Well, the Anunnaki wanted to make sure that humans would stay at two strands that would not evolve. There was a vested interest in keeping them under their control and their power. And this was something that came through our sources. I believe it came through Daphne. And then when I started cross-referencing it, there is a scholar who studied a lot of the ancient texts, Sumerian texts, named Zachariah Sitchin, who put together the same story of these ETs that had spaceships that landed on Earth and were using humans to mine gold. Now, who are these Anunnaki and why are they powerful? Well, it's my understanding that if you have been following how the Elohim had come into this realm, some of them, and then either lost or didn't go back to their Elohim form, but evolved as humans, and to a certain degree, they had power over the simpler life forms here, which they, when they played that card, they could control those people or those beings. And the Anunnaki are derivative from those Elohim that came into this realm initially. And now I'm telling you that it was the Anunnaki who created the first men. And over a period of many years, probably millions of years, the men started evolving. And in one thing that came from Daphne, the evolution started to occur because of sex. Sex was part of the creation, so that they didn't have to keep creating new people, and they wanted them to duplicate. And through sex, people would have exchange of loving energy at a higher level that started to open up the DNA strands. And so when the Bible said the daughters of men, the daughters of men mated with the sons of God, I don't believe that that was the Elohim, because they don't have bodies. But it was these, and I don't even know if it's completely correct to say fallen Elohim, You know, it's just that these Elohim that chose to be in this realm, and many of them became negative because they had the power to control aspects of this realm. And when they played that card, instead of coming here and helping everyone evolve by their expanded energy, they used their position to control people. Now, over long periods of time, there are many, many other influences, interstellar influences, ET influences, interplanetary influences that have added to the mix on this planet. And those of you who have read the Ruckert material or even the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, there's the story of how this planet was used as, for many of the people in different stellar populations who did not go through the graduation on their planet, and had to be cycle repeaters, many of them came to Earth to be the cycle repeaters. So now you have, we're way beyond all these gold miners and these Anunnaki, although they do exist somewhere, and they're probably on spaceships, and they probably can tune into things. You have the Earth apparently is a valuable piece of real estate in the celestial market, and it's valuable because it has vortexes. It has portals. And what is a portal? A portal is a way to move from one dimension to another. Like the Bermuda Triangle is a portal. It's a portal that's not necessarily a positive portal, because people disappear because they go into a dimensional warp. We're creating portals when we do these calls, when you can feel the energies. And so in interspace, where there's lots of ET populations, different populations, there's many, some of those populations would desire to control the Earth's portals. And it's not quite as simple as saying, let's go in and get rid of all the humans and then occupy the planet. Because, and here's how I come to understand this. Let me tell you that I'm talking off the top of my head, and I've done a huge amount of reading, so I'm trying to synthesize. So I'm not going to say that I'm 100% accurate, and even if I was, there's no way for you to validate it, so just consider it as a what-if. But the reason they didn't just come in and say, let's get rid of the humans and take us by force, is because the humans had the DNA in the right kind of DNA to ground the energies from the sources, from, you know, the we do this. Say, for example, when we do our Sunday grid healings and you feel that energy that's moving through you, you can do that and move it into the Earth because your DNA was created here and it has links to the Earth. Now, if you took an alien from another planet and put him on Earth, his DNA couldn't do that. And for whatever reason, it's important to have humans here so that the planet needs that energy that comes through humans. That's what I think. So, I'm going to tell you about, how much time do we have? Let's see here. 7:39. We have 11:39. We have 11 minutes. We haven't done a channeling. But maybe I have to say all of this as a precursor to a channeling. So So you get the idea of some of the interplays that are happening. Now, this is information that is really hard to come by, what I'm sharing here. And I'm only sharing this because of the trust that you guys have put in me, that I'm not trying to prove it. I can talk for hours on the research I did, and even then I did cross-reference channelings, and then I did personal experiences. So I have an idea that it's correct. So where do implants come from? Well, making it simple, most of you have seen the gray alien. This is the most common alien with big eyes and skinny body. And the grays have been a dying race. They've lost their home planet, and they're floating around, as I understand, on spaceships. And they have lost the ability to reproduce, maybe through radioactivity exposure, but they can't reproduce sexually. And so they have been duplicating themselves by cloning. They're very highly technically advanced with not much emotion. And in their cloning, they have created a distortion over millions or hundreds of thousands of years where each clone is a little less accurate than the one before. So they've been close to being a dying breed, that their cloning would stop working. And so they got the idea of creating a hybrid. A hybrid would be a human-gray combination, DNA-wise, and that the hybrids could continue on Earth. And apparently there was some agreement from higher forces for this to occur so that this race would die off. And one of the reasons abductions occur is for this hybriding. Now, when I was first studying David Wilcox channelings, this was actually addressed in one of his channelings. And we used that channeling in the book, and I decided to edit this out because I said it's going to freak people out to hear about this. So apparently there's some good grays and there's some not so good grays, or a service to self grays and not so service to self grays. And the service to other grays are still participating in this program, and they've made, according to one book I read, this is not channel, but they've made a grievance with people in their dream states or before they came here to allow this hybrid program to work. And the other group of grays is fairly ruthless. And they want to control this realm. And that particular group of grays actually made, this is going to be, for those of you that never heard of this, excuse me, I hope I don't mean to blow your reality systems here, but they made agreements with our government going back as far as the 40s or even before, to exchange technology for permission for abductions. And this has been going on for many, many years. and it's been very insidious, and it's been behind the scenes, and that these grays have the ability to implant people etherically. They have the ability, according to one book I've read, to project holograms into this realm. They have the ability to use the symbols that trigger us and make a hologram that makes people think something is a religious experience when it's actually a projected hologram from these guys. For example, I'm not going to say this is true in every case, even in any case, but say for the possibility when people see a statue cry or they see an apparition in the sky, you know, anyone who is religious is going to automatically give up their power to that. They're going to think it's what they've been waiting for. And these grays have the ability to do these kinds of things, which throughout the history of mankind, we have all been implanted. We are not bad in of ourselves. Part of what makes us think we're part of what makes us think that we are unworthy and undeserving, part of us which keeps us disconnected, are implants that we've carried around for many, many lifetimes. So you're not bad because of that. It's been imposed on you. And at 7:46, I'm not going to do a channeling. I've opened up a big door here tonight. And I actually know Terry from our own personal experience has experienced this. And it's something I've worked with. And I also believe Daphne has. And I also believe I have. I've had to work through a lot of stuff in myself. And I started to understand this whole idea over a long period of time, because it seems so incredible. It sounds like a movie. And I'm only giving you a smidget of the story, but it's an important smidget to hear, because in the future, you may see one of these holograms, and you may say, that's the sign I'm waiting for, and it may not be a sign. It may be a totally generated something projected into your consciousness or into the realm, and you're going to think it's real. This is why discernment is so difficult in this realm. And Terry, are you there? Terry?
Yes, I'm here.
I don't hear
yes.
you. Yeah.
Can
we
you
have
hear
about
me
three
now?
Or four. I hear you. We have about 3 or 4 minutes. And would you like to share something on your experience of this idea of implants?
Well, there is some different types of implants. One of them might be by satellite control, where an area of the Earth might be blanketed with broadcast. The frequency range of an individual or of the human being, and then they may become like a receiver and they pick up something. Like there was a case in Los Angeles where a policeman got a call, and the lady said, the walls are talking to me. And you thought, oh, well, there's a crazy baby. And then he got another call from somebody on another part of town. She said, you know, the walls are talking to me. And he started to think, well, you know, what's going on? There is a radio broadcast that goes through the air, and they can be picked up by the devices with crystals, or they used to have little crystal sets that would pick them up. The radios pick them up. There's TV waves, and there is wireless. Those are generally at frequencies that are not picked up by the human being. However, it is possible, and my understanding, that they've been doing some experimentation with broadcasting at human frequencies. Then also, when an individual has a traumatic experience in the past, then like maybe even in a past life, like a past life death, that might have been very traumatic, that can tend to move forward. Like there's situations where, like there was some fellow in India, he had a birthmark and he remembered in an earlier life being shot right in that place. And so some of these traumatic things carry forward, and it can be psychological too, where suddenly a person has something, thoughts that are irrational for the situation, but it can be just a key into something that has happened in the person's past and got just indelibly implanted into the person's psyche. And this can all be cleared, but it takes diligence. And there are also,
Terry?
Like, yes.
Terry, it's 7:51, and I don't think we should keep going. And I don't know how people are going to react to this show, but I hope I've given you guys something to think about, because you know what? If you understand the game that's being played, you stand a chance of winning far more than just doggy paddling and hoping something comes about. And I think this is going to be some very valuable information to work with, and that next week we're going to talk about it more with our sources and how can we help ourselves, clear ourselves from these kinds of things which are so underneath the radar of our awareness, okay? So on that note, let's just take a moment, bring in a light energy, just think it, and protection for what we talk about, because this is, for some people, it invokes fear, and it's a chance to go through your fear of this and take a look at something that may be one of the underlying programs that have been making your life difficult. This is Lynn Frey with Terry Brown. This is our Monday night conference call on